Good news for jobs in Victoria. At least that's the way it seems. $22 million the Victorian state government is going to kick in. It's an assistance package for fruit processor SPC Ardmona. And the Premier is saying that this has secured the long-term future of the company and also its workers. The company that owns SPC Ardmona is Coca-Cola Amatil. They'll contribute $78 million as part of a $100 million co-investment deal. That's what's being called. You'll recall, of course, that the federal government recently knocked back a request for $25 million. You'll also recall that the federal local member, Sharman Stone, was very critical of her own federal colleagues in the coalition government and their decision to reject SPC Ardmona's request. And Sharman Stone joins us now. Thank you very much for speaking to us. I imagine you are completely chuffed.
I'm completely over the moon, Waleed, and I'll be in the factory at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll be more than happy to toast this amazing turnaround with a lot of pear juice. It's just fantastic.
Pear juice, okay. That's an interesting selection. I'm interested, though, in something that the SPC boss, Peter Kelly, had to say today about what might have turned this around. Here he is speaking.
On behalf of everyday hard-working Australians in our factories and in our fields and in the wider Shepparton community, I'd like to express my heartfelt thanks to the Australian public for getting behind us. I just can't emphasise enough to you today how much that support means and the fundamental role it has played in the decision today.
Fundamental role? Is that true? Absolutely. Is that what turned it around?
Well, that was very much part of the outcome, because when you had about a 50%, 40 to 50% spike in sales of Australian fruit processed here, grown in Australia, all the SPCA brands, when you had over 1 million hits on the social media saying, we can't let this industry go, I had over 1,000 emails a day. So the Australian public said, actually, you know, we don't just go for the cheapest. We're not prepared to risk a bit of extra lead in our peaches from China. We actually want Australian product. So that very much indicated to SPCA that they had a future, if only they could get over this hump where the cheap imports are still flowing in. We still don't have the anti-dumping action, but I've had a commitment from the Minister that that's going to change. We've still got labelling problems, Waleed, as you know. We still don't do our quarantine inspection services well enough, but the Australian public said, all that's got to be fixed, we know, but the Australian product is clean, it is fabulous, fresh, and our Australian orchardists and farmers, you know, they've got to survive. So it was very much a public response. And, of course, the $22 million from the state, the $78 million from Coca-Cola Amatil, a great Australian company, they are going to put every cent of that $100 million over 2 years into the new plant and equipment, which is going to have fabulous new products in front of us.
Okay,
so
well,
it's all great news.
It sounds like a real win for the company and for the workers. Of course, referring to the support that the company's got and the spike in sales and so on, I mean, that's hardly sustainable, is it? I mean, you would have thought that that was a response very much to the news, a kind of a solidarity spike in sales. Is there any way of actually making sure or demonstrating that this is going to be viable long-term in the sense that customers actually want the products?
Well, Waleed, that's why things like anti-dumping actions are so important. It will mean when we get those duties and tariffs finally put on, which have been agreed now need to be put on, that will mean 25% difference in the price that the tomatoes from Italy can be dumped at and what is rightfully put on their cans of tomatoes.
So you say this is a commitment. So when can we expect to see that?
Well, the Anti-Dumping Commission has already recommended that this is what should occur. They're yet to put that through to the Minister. When the Minister receives it, I'm hoping this is a matter of days, would you believe? Then if the Minister turns that around straight away, you'd hope within a few weeks you'd have those actual dumping duties and tariffs in place, agreed, for a period of years.
And the Minister's committed that's what will happen?
He has. He's in writing, I've been putting this to him carefully in writing, all the problems and issues, and in writing he's committed to me that, yes, he's going to strengthen our regime, make it fair like it is in New Zealand.
Okay, this is Ian McFarlane, the Industry Minister you're talking
about? That's right, yes,
okay,
indeed.
Good. I look forward to seeing that. I know you're in a rush. Thank you very much for sparing some time for us. Appreciate it.
Oh, good on you, Wallet, and just keep buying that fabulous fruit.
Well, I can't recommend that as a person at the ABC, but there you go. You've had a chance to say that. Charmaine Stone, Federal Member for Murray. 16 minutes past six, listening to the end of that was the Deputy Premier of Victoria, Peter Ryan, who went with the Premier, Dennis Napthine, to Shepparton today personally to address the workers about this decision. And the Deputy Premier, Peter Ryan, joins us now. Thank you very much for joining us. What makes this a co-investment as opposed to a grant?
Andy, still in Shepparton, I might say, Waleed.
Good.
And good evening to you, to your listeners. It's a co-investment for a couple of reasons. The first thing is this. This company, of course, was staring at the brink. We needed to, we felt, be able to make a substantial investment in it. It's a co-investment in the sense that we have a package of $22 million, which in terms of the overall package is very, very significant. And indeed, since we have been in government, would represent the largest package that my own department has been involved in. And accordingly, the proper term for it is as a co-investment.
But we don't get a return particularly, do we? It's not like we're investing in something and we're getting a share of the profits.
Well, of course we get a return. The state as a whole gets an enormous return. I mean, this company is planning now and has been through the process with us of demonstrating how it will engage in its international markets far more than it has already. It will mean, therefore, that we will see a lot more fruit being grown in the valley with the passage of time, that fruit being processed at this facility. And I have no doubt that in time to come, we're going to see the growth of those export markets as well as the consumption domestically. And so it is, of course, it is to the benefit of the state of Victoria.
But their economic returns.
We make a very direct return to our state and to our community.
Sure, but their economic returns, their returns via the tax base, for example, or whatever it is, it's not the same thing as a return on investment where I kick in money, you kick in money, and that makes profit, you give me a share of the profits.
Well, the taxpayer's kicking in money and the taxpayer will get a share of the benefit. I think your analogy is an excellent one and I hereby adopt it.
Oh, I don't think the analogy stands up. That's my point. I just think that this is a grant by another name, that's all.
I think the term co-investment is far more appropriate for the reasons I've already been through. We're putting $22 million into a $100 million package. It is going to have profoundly beneficial outcomes for not only this region but for our state.
Okay.
And it is, I think it goes well past what we, I suppose, might nominally say represents the normal, quote-unquote, form of the investment that we make in other forms of enterprise. I mean, through our regional growth fund, we've done now about 75 or thereabouts of the major investments in infrastructure development. This is by far the most substantial, but I think it's reasonable to say it is by far the one that will reap the most benefit for the state of Victoria.
Okay, the size of it I find interesting because there's something I need to clarify here. The original idea, as I understood it, was the federal government would put in $25 million and you would put in $25 million. How does it happen that now with them putting in no money and you putting in $22 million, SPC can still be saved?
Well, the first thing is we had not made a commitment around $25 million. I appreciate it's become part of the lexicon, but as I told your colleague in an interview only 8 or 10 days ago, did not have an actual commitment to the 25. What we were doing was waiting on the outcome of the discussions with the company, which the company had with the federal government. We were then to have that discussion with the federal government with a view to some sort of a proposition being put to the company.
So you hadn't pledged to match it?
As it happened, the Fed said no, and the whole game changed.
Okay, but they're still getting less than they asked for, aren't they?
They brought to us, and we've given it the consideration which is its due, and this is the outcome.
But they're still getting less than they asked for, so I'm interested in how that saves them, and if so, does that mean that they were asking for more than they needed?
Well, what they were asking for was a proposition which was a different proposition in structure than what they put to us, and the big difference is this. We have married their need up against our existing programs. So programs that I administer through different funds. So we have gone through what they intend to achieve by way of an outcome. And in those existing programs, we are able to fund different forms of infrastructure requirement in company with them.
Okay.
It will not cost us anything as a state in the sense of our bottom line because our programs are already funded. What we've done is taken money from those and directed them into this package.
So those existing programs...
the total amount of $22 million.
Those existing programs then, they're going to lose money presumably. What are those programs?
Well, the programs are through our Regional Growth Fund in particular, and using the expression lose is not right. There is a pool of money We have a $1 billion fund over two terms of government in our regional growth fund, $500 million being used in this first term, hopefully, of our government, but whomever is the government after the 29th of November has the benefit of the other $500 million in the fund. We have allocated about $385 million of this first $500 million, and a lot of it has gone toward projects of this sort of nature, but certainly not of this dimension. So no one's losing anything. There is money in the pool. We've allocated more of the money in terms of this project.
How does this actually solve the company's underlying problems that identified in its press release last week, the high dollar, cheap foreign imports, the consequences of successive free trade agreements over time?
Well, it's not directed toward those things in particular, and it's a good question in the sense that, as I said throughout, we are simply not in that area of activity as a state government. The issues of the dollar, issues of HR and IR, issues to do with the dumping, they are matters within the province of the federal government. On the other hand, though, what this company needs to do is make the transition of the presentation of its product from what it has been in an historical sense into what it needs to be to meet the requirements of a contemporary consumer.
Right, so these are new products that Charlotte Stone...
And they've demonstrated to us how they're going to do it. We have great confidence they will achieve it.
What are the new products they'll be offering?
Well, they have about 16 in total. They are might be generally described as retail-ready. So historically, the form of product by the company has been in the form of the renowned can that has been has housed peaches, for example, and other forms of fruit. In time to come, there will be different forms of product which are packed in a retail-ready sense, softer packaging, tear-off lid, consume it straight away. They are producing an ice cream which is based around fruit by way of its core ingredient, and it's been hugely successful for them in the trialling of the marketing of it so far. So we will see a range of new products for the company which are going to be produced over the as a result of this initiative.
Okay, but given there are all these factors that are making life difficult for SPC, and they are, as you say, not under your control, how confident can you be that giving this money but not being able yourself to address those factors and looking only at these new products that are being offered and may or may not be successful, how confident are you that these jobs are actually going to be saved in the long term?
We are very, very confident. That's why we put up $22 million.
Let me re-ask it. How can you be so confident?
Well, we're confident because, number one, we look at the strength of the brand, and it is a very, very strong brand in Australia. Number two, they have a wide range of product, which we strongly believe will be of appeal to the market.
But none of that saved them before. That's the point.
And number three, when they have made the transition into the presentation of their product in the way that we've been talking about, we believe that that, coupled with their further entrance into the international markets, and that's part of all what they intend to do, part of their investment of $78 million, all of that will combine, when you look at carefully at their business case, to produce the outcome that we're already seeing, I might say, in the way in which the consumers have supported them over the course of these recent times.
The last couple of weeks. We'll see where that continues. Just quickly and finally, do you believe that SPC needs to make significant changes to its industrial relations arrangements?
Well, that's a matter between SPC and its employees. As has been said repeatedly, there are issues of a federal nature. As far as we are concerned, we have had a very, very careful look through all of this. I particularly have had the pleasure, the honour, the job to be able to lead these discussions with them over these past few weeks. We have taken the whole thing to pieces very carefully. We have great confidence in the outcome. And I tell you, speaking from Shepparton right now, the place is absolutely elated because in the end, you know, for all the people involved, this is just fantastic news for Australia likewise.
All right. Your federal colleagues perhaps don't agree with you, but I suppose that's a conversation for another day. Peter Ryan, thank you very much.
Pleasure.